This is Captain Frank Humbert with the Maryland School of Sailing and Seamanship. And in this podcast, I'd like to return to a concept that we talked about a couple of months ago, the AIS system. I just got back from Bermuda about a week ago, and we used the AIS all the way out and all the way back. So tonight or today, we're going to talk some of that, what we saw and how it worked and didn't work. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I am a fan of electronics. I will admit it. I'm not a Luddite. I am not one of these guys that is a purist. But part of what you need to keep in mind when you're using any kind of electronics is the limitations within the system. A lot of people swear by their GPS track without realizing how far off that can be at any given time. GPS is a very, very fluid piece of information, partly because of the boat moving, partly because of changes in the signal that's being sent. AIS is very similar to that in that the information that's being sent is not a continual value. It's a set of discrete numbers sent on a regular basis. We talked about that in the first podcast. And because of that, we can't always use that information as gospel. We have to take into consideration how much the information is being manipulated by the passage of time. There were several times during the trip to and from Bermuda that we would look at vessels and particularly if it was a Class A system, if you remember, the Class A system is the one that the commercial vessels are using, you could be in and out of danger 10 times in 30 minutes based on how much your boat, how much we were moving back and forth. You know, we're a sailboat. We respond to the wind. We respond to the waves. So we could shift anywhere from 10 to 25 degrees within a couple of seconds. And then how much the other vessel was being affected by the sea state. In this particular case, we didn't see a lot of sea state effect on the big ships, but we could tell that there was some effect as they moved. And the few times that we came across other sailboats, you could definitely tell the difference between what they were seeing and what we were seeing in terms of changes in direction affecting whether or not we were in a collision situation or not. So the first thing you need to do is you need to be able to kind of smooth out that information. The other problem that we had is that the AIS system gives you two pieces of information related to whether or not a collision is going to occur. The first one is bearing, the closest point of approach bearing. In other words, what the closest point of approach will be, I'm sorry, not bearing, that's the problem. It'll give you the closest point of approach, the distance between you and the other vessel at their closest point of approach, and the time to that pier, that point, where how long it's going to take them to get to that point. Now again, both of these numbers are really variable in an offshore situation or even in a near situation between two sailboats. But the other thing it doesn't give you is it doesn't give you the bearing to the closest point of approach. And that's a huge, huge piece of information, because if I know that the I'm sailing along and I know that at the closest point of approach, the vessel will be slightly off my bow at 2 miles, or it'll be slightly off my stern at 2 miles, that's huge in my decision-making process. So if I'm getting that information, but I'm not being, I'm being told that the vessel is going to cross me at 2 miles off, or let's say a half mile off, but I don't know if it's going to be a half mile off my bow or a half mile off my stern, that's a huge problem. Because a vessel that's a half mile off my bow might cause me to turn one way, where a vessel half mile off my stern might cause me not to turn or to turn in a different direction. So both of these problems, the inherent variability of the AIS signal and the fact that we really don't have a bearing to the direction the boat's going to pass us, both of those can be resolved by something called a maneuvering board. Now, because this is a podcast, I can't really show you a maneuvering board, but if you go to Maryland School of Sailing, our YouTube channel, we do have a YouTube on how to do a maneuvering board. It's in our radar section. And the thing is that it comes from the radar world. It allows you to take a graphic look of what's happening over a period of time and determine where what the closest point of approach and the time to closest point of approach and the bearing to the closest point of approach. You can do all of that from radar information, but it works just as well with AIS information. In fact, I think it works better because when you're dealing with radar information, you're trying to determine that from what's on the screen using the variable range marker and the electronic bearing line and moving those around. The AIS system will actually give you the information at the point that it's important. So what we're going to do in this is we have a round screen, a round piece of paper that is marked in 360 degrees and it's marked in range miles. So at the center, that's 0 miles. Then there's a ring for 1 mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles, so on. And what we'll do is we'll take a range and bearing. So the distance from us and the angle to that at some time. And then in we're going to use 6 minutes for right now. 6 minutes later, we collect that information again, and we put both of those two spots, we draw those on the maneuvering board. And then usually we'll take a third one at another 6 minutes. Now, the reason we're using 6 minutes is because 6 minutes is exactly 1/10 of an hour. It makes the math really easy for everything else. So once we've got those three dots on the screen, we simply connect them. And wherever that line connecting those three dots, wherever it passes by us, that is the direction to the vessel when it passes us at the closest point of approach. That's its path. If nothing else changes, that's where it's going to be when it passes us. Now, that's a key piece of information because that now tells me whether I should turn left, I should turn right, whether I should speed up, whether I should slow down, or whether I should call the other vessel and ask them to do something. Once they've done something, or once we've done something, we have to go through this whole process again. But at least we have a fundamental understanding of where the turn is going to be. And we can, with some advanced knowledge, we can actually plot what's going to happen when we make the turn on that maneuvering board so we can look and see, is the turn I'm going to make or the change in speed I'm going to make big enough to open up the distance to the closest point of approach far enough to be comfortable? Now, again, I can't show you all of this in a podcast. I would love to just beam it into your head, but it's not going to work that way. I highly recommend that you do your own work, your own research. The part of the American Sailing's course on radar, their 120 course, is working with maneuvering boards because it's such a useful tool. The other thing that we picked up when we were doing this offshore, these transits, is, and this is not truly related to AIS, but it comes into the same category, and that is the use of the MMSI number. Now, the MMSI number, if you have AIS on your boat, if you have a transmitting AIS, or if you have a radio with digital selective calling, you probably already have an MMSI number. And they come in two varieties. The first variety is the international one, which you would get from the Federal Communications Commission. And that number is, once you've programmed it into your radio, that's good all over the world. It's a number that can be used for all of your equipment and can be programmed into an EPIRB if you need it. EPIRB is the Emergency Position Indicating Radio Beacon that if your boat sinks offshore, you can use to send an emergency signal by satellite to the most relevant rescue organization so they can get people headed to you as quickly as possible. But in this case, the MMSI number allows you to call another vessel directly. What do I mean by that? Well, if you have a DSC registered radio, in other words, your radio can handle this, and the other vessel has the same characteristics. They don't have to have the same radio, but they have to have a radio that uses MMSI characteristics. And all of the commercials and a lot of the recreationals now have this. When you pull up the screen to call another vessel, it will allow you to put the MMSI number of that other vessel into your radio. And then when you make the call, instead of just pressing the transmit button on the radio microphone, you'll hit a button on your radio that says send call. That radio will send a message that is encoded with that MMSI number, and the vessel that has that MMSI number coded into their radio will get a special signal. It will alert that radio. It'll go beep, 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 or boop, 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 or something like that. And it will change the radio on both boats to a working frequency that you have pre-selected. Ours pre-selected VHF channel 8. And when we send a signal, the radio on the other end automatically changed from whatever radio signal, whatever frequency it was on, to channel 8 and alerted them that we were calling them directly. And when they picked up the radio, they responded directly to us. We were able to contact them directly. Now, that's really, really, it's nice out in the ocean because you can alert the other radio so they know you're calling. They're not just going to have to listen to it, because I have a feeling that sometimes on those late watches out there on other ships, they may not be quite as awake as we would like them to be. But when that radio boop, boop, boops in their ear, they know something's going on. The other thing about this is that if there are multiple contacts out there and you want to speak directly to one of them, you can use the MMSI to communicate just with them. Now, a lot of times what people will do is you'll call another ship on channel 16 or channel 13 if you're relatively close, and establish communications and then transfer to a working channel. Although, I'll be honest, offshore, usually we just stay on 16. If there's nobody else around for 100 miles, it's not a big issue. But if there are other people around and they hear you calling the tugboat Mary Jane, and you're calling them on 16, and they come back and you say, okay, let's switch to channel 71 or 72 or something like that, a lot of people will shift over and listen to your conversation. It's interesting. But if you do this through MMSI, nobody knows that you made the call, and you'll go to a radio frequency that very few people are listening to. And so it makes it a more secure method of communicating. This is very useful if you're traveling with another boat, because the two of you can plug in your MMSI numbers into your radios and contact each other directly without having to call the other boat and say, hey, let's go ahead and switch to channel 71 or channel 69 or whatever. So it's a much more useful system. The other problem, going back to AIS, the other problem that we see all the time with AIS is in port. When we were coming into Norfolk, we've been out in Bermuda, we've sailed all the way back, we're coming into Norfolk, some of the first signals we saw were AIS hits from boats that were sitting still. I understand doing this if you are anchored in an anchorage area in the bay. If you're anchored someplace just offshore, we saw big commercial vessels that were anchored in both those locations. But if you're tied to the dock and you leave your AIS on, what you're doing is you're just polluting the airways. And every one of those boats that's sitting on a dock going nowhere is going to alert your AIS, and you're going to get all of these dangerous reports, and at the same time, you're not going to see the one vessel that is actually moving, because all of these dangerous ones, they may be tied to the dock, but they don't say, hey, he's not moving. It says this one's dangerous, and you're going to be in a closest point of approach at this time. Yeah, because your boat's moving, their boat is not. It doesn't take that into consideration. So I guess the point I'm trying to make there is if you have an AIS system on your boat and you are on the boat but not planning on going anywhere, or if you're on the boat and leaving the boat for a while, please turn off your AIS. I understand that you want to be able to receive information, but if you're not going to be there or you're not going anywhere, it's not useful to you. It's not useful to anybody else. Just go ahead and shut the system off. If nothing else, almost all of the transceivers, almost all the ones that will transmit and receive, can be put into a silent mode where they're receiving information, but they're not transmitting that information. We used to refer to it as pirate mode, because if I'm going into an area where I'm uncomfortable with the possibility that other people might know where I am, one of the best ways to deal with that is to put it in silent mode so that I can hear, I can receive information from other vessels, but I'm not transmitting my location or speed or any of that to other people. A lot of the fishing boats tend to do this. They'll go into silent mode. They'll listen to where other people are, but they don't necessarily want to tell you where they're fishing. All right, well, that pretty much brings me to the end of the concepts that I want to deal with AIS. In a couple of weeks, we'll be posting a podcast that is the audio from a chat that Captain Tom Tursey, Captain David Gifford, and I will be doing regarding our recent trips to Bermuda and back. We'll be talking about weather, and we'll be talking about crew management and boat management, and Captain Gifford was the mate, and I was the master. And of course, Captain Tursey is always good for information. He's done that trip, if not 100 times, at least a dozen times, at least dozens and dozens of times. So we're looking forward to having that discussion. And as I said, that will be a live chat on July 1st. And then the audio for that will go up as a podcast about July 8th. Looking forward to talking to you then. This is Captain Frank Mummert with the Maryland School of Sailing and Seamanship. And have good sailing. Bye.